Good morning to you. You may approach and you may proceed.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Melissa Vincent. I'm the Assistant Attorney General and I represent the appellee, the state of Nebraska. We're here on a petition for further review. Musha was convicted of knowingly possessing child pornography in violation of Section 28-13.01. On appeal, the Court of Appeals affirmed his conviction but determined knowing possession of child pornography is a specific intent crime that requires proof that the defendant intentionally possessed child pornography. We believe that decision is an error for several reasons. First, the only authority the Court of Appeals cited in support of his decision was this Court's opinion in State v. Shuler. However, Shuler does not support it. This Court's purported emphasis on Shuler's intent is simply a reflection of the facts of that case. Clearly established, Shuler purposely sought out files depicting child pornography. But just because Shuler acted with specific intent in that case does not mean that the statute requires it, and that is especially true since one who acts intentionally necessarily acts knowingly. Second, the Court of Appeals' decision runs counter to both the plain language of the statute, which requires a defendant to act knowingly, not intentionally, and this Court's decision in State v. Thurman, which recognized that knowingly in criminal statute signifies a general intent crime.
Would you define what you believe is the definition of general intent versus specific intent as it applies to this case?
Yeah, well, general intent would be when you desire a conscious result, when you consciously desire a result. You go out and you intentionally seek out child pornography and then download it. That's exactly what happened in Shuler. General intent.
That was specific intent, right?
Yes.
I think you said general.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry. Yeah, that's specific intent. General intent is more when you intend to commit the act, but not necessarily the result. You don't necessarily have to know the act that you've committed constitutes a crime. And the definition.
Well, this guy was specifically looking for pornography. His story is, and then he stumbled into child pornography. Is that right?
Well, what he said was he was looking for adult pornography, but he was looking for people more his own age, like 18, 19, maybe lower 20s. But he was searching for teen porn.
And that's legal.
That's legal.
Yeah.
That's right. But he's using a file sharing network where child pornography files are readily available. He's using a search term, teen porn, which obviously is going to bring, it's going to bring up people that aren't 18 or underage. It did in this case. We have a pattern of behavior over a 10-month period where this is happening repeatedly. And not only that, the file titles are visible both at the time of download and at the time of access. So
help me out here. What do you disagree with in the Court of Appeals opinion?
I disagree with the Court of Appeals opinion in the sense that they're saying that it's intentional, meaning you have to specifically seek out the child pornography. You have to know. He has to go out there and search for it, because if you read the opinion closely, they upheld the conviction based on those four files that were found in the user creative folder in Shiraza.
In the context of this case, you indicated that there was a search for teen porn.
Right, and that was what he admitted
right.
to.
So, is that specific or general?
General. I think if he goes in there and searches for teen porn, and this is the point, I mean, it's possible that he's going to get some stuff that's legal and some stuff that isn't. But once he becomes aware of the fact that it's returning things that are not legal.
But if he's searching for teen porn, wouldn't that be specific intent?
Well, it could be. I mean, depending on what you're bringing up.
What, I'm just saying 19 would be legal.
At 18.
What makes the act illegal if he goes in there specifically looking for teenage porn and all of a sudden child porn comes up on the screen? Has he committed an illegal act at that point?
Not until he downloads it.
He has to take some action, and when he downloads the child pornography, then he's committed the crime.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it the downloading or the keeping or...
Well, it would be the downloading that constituted the possession. The way file sharing networks work, you have to open the program, you type in your search term, it returns a list of files that match that search term, and then you have to manually select those files and download and pull the files onto your computer. So at that point, you would be in possession of it. And the file titles are visible at the time that you select.
Is there any money paid for this service?
No, Frostwire is.
Just free on the internet?
Yeah.
Well, he's looking for adult porn. But it looks like child porn comes up. And you say at that point, he should just go on and ignore that as opposed to downloading? Or is that where the crime is committed and the sorcerer and the...
That's correct. Yeah, because that's where the possession comes. And I think if you're just looking at a list of files and you haven't actually accessed the file...
And you say that there's an open and obvious difference between teen porn and child porn? That anybody who's viewing that would know that they're looking at child pornography instead of teen pornography?
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, that's why when they're going through, and Investigator Weinmesser touched on this a bit during his testimony, is that going through there, there's an area, 16, 17, 18 years old, that they classify as age difficult, but when they do, when he's going through this investigation here, he only chose the stuff or flagged the stuff that was clearly child pornography. The age difficult stuff, he ignored.
These are prepubescent children, is that?
Exactly.
Is downloading synonymous with watching? Or how are they different?
They could be the same. It depends. I mean, I know there's...
The reason you download is to watch it, right?
Right, but it depends on what you mean by download. Because, you can download in the sense that your computer has to take it on a temporary level, like with YouTube or something like that, and it stays, you know, it goes immediately to your temporary internet files, like your cache. But when you're talking about a file sharing program, in order for you to watch it or even preview it, you have to actually download it on your computer. You have to click on the file, select download, and it starts.
What would be the case if somebody hit a website that it appeared to be adult porn, but in the context there was child porn, and you happen to hit on the adult website, and up comes some, there's adult porn, but also there's some child pornography in there. Would somebody be guilty of a crime of child possessing child pornography there?
Well, not necessarily.
You have to download it first, wouldn't you?
You have to open it. But I mean, it would depend on the circumstances, because when you're talking about, you know, if you're going to prove knowledge by circumstantial evidence, you're going to have to look at everything that happens. And you're going to have to look at all the circumstances. You have that situation where somebody clicks on a link, you have an isolated image amongst other images of pornography. I mean, A, you're probably not going to come to the attention of law enforcement. Typically, what they're looking for is take a period of time, the same IP address, they're looking for files being shared. So, situation like that, probably not going to come to the attention of law enforcement, but I think you have to consider it in the context of what this appears to be an isolated image. Perhaps it came up and it has an innocuous title and you won't apply much to your
discretion. Can we back up just to the statutory language that puts this discussion in motion? And this is why we're focusing on knowingly possess and knowingly. So, why are we so focused on knowingly seeking out?
Well, because the way the Court of Appeals opinion is written, it says intentionally. The law distinguishes between knowledge and intent. And so, if you have knowingly written in the statute, but you have a case interpreting that statute and says, no, it's intentionally, you have to intentionally seek it out because we find that this is a specific crime based on this court decision, Shuler, which was not an entirely different set of facts, but they were certainly not in the same position. It's incorrect, and I think it's
kind of... Well, but in some senses, Shuler was easy.
Yes, because he confessed.
And evidently, your argument is it doesn't stand for what the Court of Appeals thinks it stands for.
Right, but that's what makes it harder, because now you have a case where you have these patterns of downloading and you have what appears to be intentional contact or conduct, but you've got somebody saying, hey, I didn't know. I didn't know this stuff was child pornography. This was completely inadvertent. I was just batch downloading these files, and this stuff happened to show up in there. So now, it's what's your burden of proof? If you're facing that situation, and here, we couldn't recover the search terms because of the functionality of the Frostwire program. So, I mean, you can look at the spam.dat file, and you can see the terms in there, but they're not search terms. I mean, you're like, okay, well, there's child pornography in there. Maybe he's looking for it, maybe he's not. I can't prove it. So the only way I'm going to be able to do it...
So you don't have recent searches aren't saved?
I'm sorry?
Recent searches are not saved.
I don't believe so. I know the way that he explained it was the spam.dat file was kind of like a registry. You know, you okay. conduct an action, and it's a hidden file. It's not necessarily accessible to the user, but you can go in there and take a look at it. So I don't know if those would register in there, but I think every time you open the program, if you want to conduct a search, you have to go in and do it separately, start it.
So your proofs are contextual.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, what were the facts you believe support the conviction? That's what he did.
Obviously, I think that what the Court of Appeals ultimately hung his conviction is fine. And it's part of my argument. But the thing that troubled me the most about it was it just seemed like the rest of it, you just got a free pass on it. I mean, January to October, I've got multiple downloads, you know, occurring periodically. They seem to be a little, you know, kind of on the uptick at the end there.
And they're all child porn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And they're just basically ignoring those and saying, well, because you... only one that I have intent for are these four files that had to have been placed in
each. Well, he had four files that he kept, right?
Yeah.
And he had 14 that were in the trash.
In the recycle bin, that's correct. And the rest of it was just like link files and history and that sort of thing. I see that I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Brennan, good morning.
Good morning. Chief Justice, Your Honors, Sean Brennan appearing on behalf of Gregory Musha. He has no stake in the outcome of this petition for further review. His conviction was affirmed by the Court of Appeals. And I'm here to contend that the petition for further review was improvidently granted. The petition for further review asserted that the error committed by the Court of Appeals was finding that the crime of knowing possession of child pornography required proof that the accused engaged in the specific intent to seek out or acquire the illegal images, the contraband. That is not what the Court of Appeals said, nor was it the issue raised by Musha when he appealed his case to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals, in its holding, said that the issue was, as raised by Musha, that the state failed to sufficiently demonstrate that his possession was knowing, and his argument was that he received the child pornography unintentionally while conducting batch downloading. When you use the peer-to-peer networks, both the state's expert and Musha's expert testified that batch downloading is common. You scroll down, you press shift, you scroll down on the number of files you want to download, and you download it and you leave. And his experts
do you have to prove then that he actually looked at it? And
yes, you have knowing
because
possession.
Stored it and downloaded it, you have to prove that he actually watched it. If you did that and didn't get rid of it, then you'd believe he knowingly committed.
That's what the Court of Appeals said. You have to prove that he was aware of the presence of the contraband or illegal files and that he knew the nature and character of those files. This isn't a willful crime where you have to prove that he was aware that it was illegal and would result in criminal penalties, but you do have to prove that he was aware of the presence of the contraband and that he, knowing the nature and character of the contraband, kept it. That's knowing possession of any type of contraband, whether controlled substances, weapons, alcohol.
Did he trash some of his other?
He trashed almost everything that
okay,
he became
but he
aware
didn't,
of.
He didn't trash the four that contained the child pornography.
Yeah, and his testimony was, I didn't know those four were there. Okay. But it really doesn't matter for purposes of deciding the petition for further review. What you have to decide is, what did the Court of Appeals say? And if the petition for further review mischaracterized what the Court of Appeals said, then it was improvidently granted.
The state thinks there's an incorrect statement of the law.
Well, their focus is on the distinction between specific and general intent. You know, those concepts don't transfer easily to possessory-type crimes. They arose in the context of crimes against the person, assaulting behavior.
Do you need specific and general intent to decide this case?
You do not need to have the term specific intent. And I think that's the state's problem is they're concerned about, oh, no, now there's a case that says we have to prove specific intent, but you always have had to prove knowing. And I think that the term, the concept of knowing the presence of something is more akin to specific intent than it is to general intent. General intent has consistently been construed as that type of intent where, in the case of a computer hard drive, that's my hard drive. I know it's my hard drive. I intend to possess that hard drive, regardless of whether I know the contents of the files on the hard drive.
The similar question that I posed to the state, when you go back to statutory language, which we do in criminal cases, knowingly possess. This is what is, right, engendering this conversation.
Exactly.
Okay. So
how
do we read knowingly possess?
Well, in the way that you have in the past and in the way that you did in Shuler. You didn't say in Shuler that it required specific intent that the files be sought out. What you said in Shuler was that it required that he knew the nature and character of the contraband, the illegal files, and that he knew of their presence on the computer hard drive. That is knowing possession of child pornography. And that was the issue that Musha brought to the Court of Appeals, and they found that the evidence was sufficient in his case to affirm the conviction of the trial court.
How does the state prove knowing? Does it have to have a confession, or...
No, they can prove it by the circumstantial evidence. Knowing is just like any other intentional crime.
In Shuler, he admitted that he was out to trying to find child pornography.
That's the distinction between Shuler and Musha. There was no admission. In fact, he explicitly denied it, and his experts said that his explanation was consistent with the circumstantial evidence. Now, the trial court didn't explain why the court found that that evidence was sufficient, and the Court of Appeals recognized that we don't reweigh evidence on appeal, and viewing the evidence in the light most favorably to the state, it was sufficient to affirm the conviction.
Mr. Brennan, if one downloads files knowing that it might be child pornography or it might not, but goes ahead and downloads it, and it turns out that in fact is child pornography, wasn't the crime committed with the downloading, even though at that moment he didn't know or she didn't know to a moral certainty what the nature and content of it was?
My answer to that would be that in that type of conduct would be more akin to reckless conduct than intentional conduct. What you're doing there is not certain what I'm getting. I know that batch downloading always yields a result of content that I'm not looking for.
So if I go across the street and run into a guy that's selling bottles that are unlabeled and says, this is really good stuff, and I don't know whether it's illegal alcohol or not, I buy it, and it turns out that it's illegal alcohol, am I scot-free or am I in possession of it?
If the circumstantial evidence was you kept going back to that same place and getting the same stuff and knew at one time that what you got was illegal and you kept going back thinking maybe I'll get legal stuff this time, maybe that would be enough to show that you intended to get the
illegal first stuff. Bite is free in your argument.
No, I think that if you don't know what you're going to get and you're just taking the risk that you're going to get something illegal and then you're going to get rid of it as soon as you find out that you've got it, you're engaging in reckless conduct, not intentional.
Maybe this is a bad example, but suppose you're searching the web for pornography and you come across a topic of how to build a workbench in your home. And you hit on that and you download it and it contains, they are building a workbench, but all the kids that are doing it are naked. Have you committed a crime of knowingly possessing child pornography?
That probably wouldn't be construed as pornography unless there was explicit display of genitalia or some sexual conduct being committed by those children. Otherwise, it would be referred to as what is commonly called by the law enforcement child erotica. Well, anyway, I don't have much more to say to you other than you don't need to get involved in the semantics, because that's all this is about, is the use of that word specific intent versus general intent. But knowing possession is not general intent. general intent requires no proof that the person was aware of the presence and character and nature of the contraband on the hard drive. Specific intent, whether that is the same thing as knowing or not, you can decide if you want to, but you don't have to, because the trial court didn't find that it was specific intent, nor did the Court of Appeals say that specific intent required seeking out the illegal files, and that was what the petition for further review claimed was the erroneous statement in the Court of Appeals opinion. You can look at that opinion. That statement was never made. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
She is over.
We do not have time for rebuttal, so we will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Kelvin L. Smith. Justice Stacy is rejoining or is joining the court. Is it Ms. Laughlin?